Reverence for Law, President Nathan Eldon Tanner, N. Eldon Tanner, Conference Report, October 1965, pages 45-49, President McKay, brothers and sisters, and all who are listening in, it is a real privilege and blessing to partake of the peaceful spirit of this great conference, to be instructed by these devoted men, and to be inspired to greater faith and better living, sanctified by the Spirit. We thank the Lord that our beloved leader, President David O. McKay, through the magnifying of his calling, has been sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of his body, which makes it possible for him to be with us today. People were never more inspired by a prophet of God than are we by his presence here, his stirring message yesterday morning, and his inspired leadership. We join in praying that he may continue to improve in health and strength. I thank the Lord for the privilege I enjoy of associating so closely with him and with these my dedicated colleagues. American citizenship. Just 5 years ago this month, I was honored by a call from the prophet to be an assistant to the Council of the Twelve. As most of you know, I am a Canadian citizen, though I love Canada, a country which was good to me in every way, and which is taking its proper place in the world, and is a strong proponent of liberty and freedom for all. I am planning, as soon as I can qualify, to become a citizen of the United States of America, just as under law, as I become a citizen of this great country. I am determined to join with all law-abiding citizens and dedicate myself to this nation's ideals of equality and justice under law, and to our responsibilities as free men. I am seriously concerned, however, about the lawlessness in the world today, and right here in the United States. As a prospective citizen, and in the position I hold in the church, I should like to speak for a few minutes on our 12th article of faith, which is, we believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates, in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. Declaration of belief. It is the duty of every citizen to be sincerely concerned with his country's efforts to advance freedom and individual opportunity, to curb lawlessness, and to achieve equal justice. The Church makes its position quite clear in its declaration of belief regarding governments and laws, some of which are as follows. We believe that governments were instituted of God for the benefit of man, and that He holds men accountable for their acts in relation to them, both in making laws and administering them, for the good and safety of society. We believe that no government can exist in peace, except such laws are framed and held inviolate as will secure to each individual the free exercise of conscience, the right and control of property, and the protection of life. We believe that all men are bound to sustain and uphold the respective governments in which they reside, while protected in their inherent and inalienable rights by the laws of such governments, and that sedition and rebellion are unbecoming every citizen thus protected, and should be punished accordingly. We believe that every man should be honored in his station, rulers and magistrates as such, being placed for the protection of the innocent and the punishment of the guilty, and that to the laws all men owe respect and deference, as without them peace and harmony would be supplanted by anarchy and terror. We believe that the commission of crime should be punished according to the nature of the offense, that murder, treason, robbery, theft, and the breach of the general peace, in all respects, should be punished according to their criminality and their tendency to evil among men, by the laws of that government in which the offense is committed. And for the public peace and tranquility all men should step forward and use their ability in bringing offenders against good laws to punishment. Italics added, as pointed out by the President of the United States in his proclamation on Law Day, our very lives, our liberty, and our rights to pursue our individual destinies are dependent upon our system of law and independent courts. Purpose of law. Laws are not made alone to curb the evildoer, or as negative restraint, but to protect the rights and liberties of every citizen. As John C. Cornelius said, laws are the rules by which the game of life is played. There is no reason or justification for men to disregard the law and try to take it into their own hands. His example, Abraham Lincoln once said, bad laws, if they exist, should be repealed as soon as possible. Still, while they continue in force, they should be religiously observed. Christ himself, while here upon the earth, was one of our greatest examples of a law-abiding citizen. When he was asked by those who were trying to discredit him, what thinkest thou, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or not? His answer was, render, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And even when he was being tried for his life, he maintained a submissive demeanor toward the chief priests and council who were plotting his death. When he stood before Caiaphas he remained silent and made no reply to the questions asked until the high priest said, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. When he spoke thus with official authority, The Savior gave an immediate answer, thus acknowledging the office of the high priest, however unworthy the man. Rights of citizens, someone wisely said, to us law is the bedrock of our basic ideals, democracy, freedom, justice. However, from day to day most of us take the law for granted, we forget about it until we need it or break it, but law looks over our shoulders constantly, seldom intruding on us, so much a part of our lives that it has become more of a guide than a restriction, more protection than threat of punishment. In our democratic countries everyone has the right, A. to acquire a good education, B. to live where he pleases, C. to choose his vocation, D. to vote a secret ballot, E. to own property, F. to start his own business, G. to have a fair and speedy trial if accused of crime, H. to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience. These rights, privileges, and blessings are just not available to those who live in the communist countries. It is a great privilege and blessing to live in a country where all people, regardless of race, religion, or national origin, can live together in peace and prosperity, where we have established a form of law by free men for the good of all, where all men enjoy the inalienable right to be free and self-governed. Respect for law, Abraham Lincoln admonished, let reverence for the laws be breathed by every American mother to the lisping babe that prattles on her lap. Let it be taught in schools, in seminaries, and in colleges. Let it be written in primers, spelling books, and almanacs. Let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaimed in legislative halls and enforced in courts of justice, and, in short, let it become the political religion of the nation, and let the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the grave and the gay of all sexes and tongues and colors and conditions sacrifice unceasingly upon its altars. That is a small price to pay for liberty and the other blessings enjoyed in a free country. Let us fully realize that we adults can break no law with impunity without our children losing respect for the law. The juvenile delinquent is in trouble because he has not learned the importance of abiding by the law, or he has not learned to adjust his conduct to the standards of the community of which he is a part. Causes of delinquency. Some causes of the delinquent's troubles are: A. Disregard for law in the home, B. Lack of discipline in the home, C. Example of adults, D. Express sympathy for criminals and criticism of police, and last but not least, failure to accept Christ as the Savior of the world and failure to keep the laws of God. The only solution to these problems is for adults to honor the law of God and the law of the land and to cultivate in our youth an understanding of and respect for the rules of civilized living which make an orderly society possible. A voluntary acceptance of the law is the civilized substitute for riots, chaos, and terror. Though we hear much about the juvenile delinquent, I have every confidence in our youth and often wish that I could live long enough to see how much better they administer public affairs than those affairs are being administered today. However, they need guidance, example, encouragement, and discipline. I should like to read A Modern American Fable by L. McIntosh. One day, when Junior was 14, he noticed his father grinning all over when he came from his office. Got pinched for speeding, he admitted, but got Jake down at the city hall to fix the ticket for me. When Junior was 15, he was with his mother in the family car when she backed into a tree. The damage would easily exceed $100. We'll say that someone rammed us when we were parked downtown, his mother said. Then we'll collect insurance for it, because that's what insurance companies are relief for. When Junior was 17, he listened one night to his lawyer uncle bragging about how cute he'd been in getting his client off scot-free in a court case. It took a little high-class arm twisting on one of the witnesses, he bragged, and by the time he got to court, we had it made. Even if you know they're guilty, you never want to plead them guilty, because you can't make any money at that, said the uncle. When Junior was 18, his family pulled every possible string to get him a paying scholarship at a coveted Ivy League school. They even storied about the family income, to make it seem that Junior needed financial aid. He didn't make the grade there, but by a stroke of good luck he wangled an appointment to a service academy. Junior was having it a bit tough scholastically. An upperclassman sold him the answers to the calculus examinations. Junior was caught and expelled. On his return home, his mother went into hysterics weeping over the disgrace. How could you have done this to us? She sobbed. This isn't the way we raised you. Unbelievable, said his father. I can't understand it. We as citizens, each and every one of us, including our youth, have a heavy responsibility to obey and enforce the law. Imagine what our country would be today without law. A. No traffic regulations, B. No marriage laws, C. No property rights, D. No police protection, E. No courts of justice. Yet we find all too many people A. rushing to beat an amber light, B. speeding on the highway, C. driving while intoxicated, D. ignoring marriage vows, E. carrying on illegal demonstrations and rioting, F. collecting undeserved unemployment insurance, etc. In a recent case, a 16-year-old boy obtained alcohol from the state liquor store, and under its influence he stole a truck and crashed into a parked taxi, causing severe injuries to the driver. Since the regulations forbid the sale of liquor to those under 21, the government employee who sold the liquor broke the law and contributed to juvenile delinquency. Just the other day, a drunken driver ran a red light and crashed into another car, hitting two people, injuring other passengers, and ruining two cars. What tremendous loss to him and to the families of those who lost their lives, and what great and lasting sorrow because of ignoring the law. We have cases every day where people are suffering because of disobedience to law. Freedom, liberty, and peace can be enjoyed fully only as the laws of the land and the laws of God are honored and obeyed. Therefore, let us adopt the slogan, "As for me and my house, we will honor, obey, and sustain the law," and use our best influence to encourage others to do the same. Let us remember, too, and never forget, that if we keep the laws of God, the greatest of all lawgivers, we will automatically keep the laws of the land, and that the laws of God, if kept, will ensure peace, security, and happiness here on this earth and lead us to immortality and eternal life. The Ten Commandments. Some of these commandments given by the Lord are: Thou shalt have no other gods before me, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. And when the lawyer asked the master, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We are most fortunate, my brethren and sisters, to know that the law of God is contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the gospel gives us the plan of life and salvation, the solution to all our problems, and which, if accepted and lived, will bring peace to the soul, peace to the family, peace to the community and to the country and to the world, and which would guarantee health, love, and happiness, success and eternal life. I wish to bear my testimony to you, my brothers and sisters, and to all the world that these things are true, that the gospel in its fullness has been restored in these the latter days, that the priesthood of God is upon the earth, that God does live and that Jesus Christ is his Son, who came and gave his life for you and me, and that they are interested in us today. There is no doubt that the Savior meant what he said in these words: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." May we accept these truths and as free men honor, obey, and sustain the law of the land in which we live, and obey the laws of God, that we might be found worthy of the country in which we live and worthy of eternal life. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.